We welcome you to worship this morning. Would you stand with us as we begin by singing Angels We Have Heard on High this morning? Sing with us.
Oh, good morning. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us on this nice, cool winter once a year day. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you're a guest in the pew in front of you is a connection card. If you would, please fill that out. Either turn it into the offering plate or turn it into one of our staff. We would love to meet you. This gives us a record of your visit so we can connect you to all the awesome opportunities to serve in this wonderful church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, to celebrate your birth. The real meaning of Christmas is you, Jesus. And Father, as we meet with our families, as we spend time with our families and friends, Lord, help us to concentrate on the true meaning of Christmas. Father, we just give you praise and worship today. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Today we celebrate week 3 of Advent, which represents joy. So we'll be sharing a passage from John 1:19 through 28. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Lord, on this week 3, we focus and let us focus and be filled with the joy of the shepherds who visited after your birth. Thank you for sending your son for us, whose birth we celebrate this Christmas season. May we allow ourselves to be filled with the joy of your salvation to where we can't help but have it spill into the lives of those around us so that they too may be drawn closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for the joy in our lives that comes from you each and every day. Amen.
Come, thou day spring, come and change. Opportunity that you've given us this beautiful Sunday morning together as a church family, Father, to worship you during this Christmas season, Father. Father, we thank you for this precious moment, a moment where we can be encouraged and inspired to live more like Jesus, Father, a moment where we can each experience you personally and deeply with your presence here with us this morning. Father, as we continue to worship you by returning a portion of the material gifts you've so generously given to us, may we give as you do, Father, cheerfully, generously, lovingly, Father. And we ask that you bless these tithes, Father, and the ministries that they will support. May they glorify your name here in Corpus Christi and throughout the entire world, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
This morning we want to introduce a new song called Manger Throne. And the song is a reminder that Jesus did not just come as a baby, but he came as our King. We hope that you're blessed by these powerful words this morning.
You could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with the host of heaven in royal robe and crown, rulers of the earth all bowing down. But you chose meekness over majesty, wrapped your power in humanity. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus, the King on a manger throne. Marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome and showed them splendor like they've never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, Creator in the arms of common men. You will die for our redemption. You will rise so we can live. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I owe to Jesus, the King on a manger throne. From heaven to the cradle, from cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. From heaven to the cradle, from cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. All hail the King. All hail the King. All hail the King. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my
hail the King. Amen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful. Our lives are dependent on the fact that you, the light, have shown. You have come. You've walked among us. You lived, you died, and you rose. all because of love. Forgive us. Forgive us when we take our eyes off of you and we allow the world to take over, the distractions of our daily lives, good things that oftentimes cloud our vision of the best. Today, Father, clear up our vision that we may see you and remember what you have done for us. Amen. As we shared a couple of weeks ago, the theme this year of our Advent season is the Incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us, truly Jesus coming. That is the Christmas story, and it's the story for the ages. The truth of the fact that God came and is with us is the foundational truth of our faith. Apart from Jesus, there would be no life, no redemption, no forgiveness, no hope. But in one God-sized act, all of that changed. Love took on flesh. Peace became tangible. Hope became more than wishful thinking. And joy became realized. The Messiah had come. Those who were walking in darkness, God's chosen people, those that he had chosen and set out, the children of Israel, for generations were walking in darkness, Isaiah prophesied, that a light will come. They'd been waiting for generations, for hundreds of years, for the Messiah to come. And Isaiah prophesied, a light will dawn. For those who are walking in darkness, the light will come. That was Isaiah's prophecy, and then John recorded that light coming. He said in his gospel in the first chapter, in the beginning was the what? The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's just a few verses later in verse 14 of that same chapter, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh. Word that was in the beginning, that was with God and was God, became flesh. That's the incarnation. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as I shared a couple of weeks ago, if we look to John's letters, he talks about the tangible, touchable Messiah. We have seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him. This one who was from the beginning, who was with God and is God, we touched him, he came. That is the foundational truth, historically proven fact, that Jesus came. This season, we hold, as we've talked about, intention, this idea of reliving, so to speak, that initial waiting of those generations of people waiting for that Messiah to come. We celebrate that and we remember that in this Advent season. Advent means waiting. And so we relive that, so to speak, with the people from that generation who were waiting. But we also, holding in tension with that same idea, the fact that we wait, just as they did, we wait for what? His return. His coming again. And in the middle of that, we also hold the fact that he comes to us every day through his Holy Spirit. He is with us every day. His presence is real. His presence brings peace. That's what I want us to focus on today. Our first Sunday of Advent, we talked about this idea of love, and the incarnation means shows his love for us. But today I want us to remember that his incarnation, his presence with us, brings peace. Brings peace. How many of you need some peace in your life today? Only me. Okay. We all need peace in our lives. Aren't you glad you came today? Because today we're going to remember where it comes from. The incarnation, God becoming human, illustrated his love for us, his peace that is available for us, and the hope that we have in him. Next week, we'll talk about that hope, but today I want us to focus on this peace that was made tangible for us through his coming. The text I want us to look at this morning specifically is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Listen to the first phrase in this passage: "For he himself is our peace." Not what he did alone, but him personally. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of the hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. He himself was our peace. He really came. His presence is real. The incarnation really happened. Paul says in Colossians 1:15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Peace himself really came, really walked among us. It wasn't just his death alone, but his participation in life. Think about that for a minute. We celebrate, don't we? And we should. We celebrate his death and his resurrection, because it is by his death that he paid the price for our sins, and it is by his resurrection that he defeated death and sin. And we wouldn't be here today if it were not for the cross and an empty tomb. But that would have never happened had he not come. So I believe in the shadow of that manger was a cross. Jesus knew from the beginning his mission. But don't miss, even though we celebrate, as we should, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, don't miss his life. His life. Think about that for a minute. God came and spent years walking among us as a human. It is in that life that he taught us what it means to live for God, what it means to love God and to love one another. He taught us in that life, in that incarnational life, how to follow him. What was important? What is important? So don't miss, in the celebration of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, don't miss the celebration of his life. That he really did walk among us. This Advent season, as I said a moment ago, is this season of tension, this season of remembering the historical fact that Jesus came in flesh, believing that he will come again, and living in the middle of the fact that he is with us each and every day through his Spirit. His presence is real today. Why? Because he lives. Because he lives. And so we celebrate the fact that he came and he lived among us. Yes, he died and he rose, and we will pull out all the stops and celebrate that in just a couple of months. But don't pass by the fact that he lived among us. He was one of us, and he still is. He's still here. His presence is real. He himself is our peace. Peace came to earth as a human. As I said earlier, not just what he did, but he himself is our peace. And his presence brings us peace because he himself is that peace. He who is peace came to bring us peace. We need a little peace in our lives. And for whatever reason, because we get distracted and we take our eyes off, it seems this time of year we need peace worse than we do other times of the year. We get caught up in the frenzy and the distraction. But we need his peace. His presence brings that peace. Verse 14, as we said, he himself is our peace. He is near. He is always with us. Think about that for a moment. There is no place you can go that he is not with you. He is with you. You are never alone. David in the Psalm 139, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." There is no place we can go that we are not in his presence. And before you leave today, I want you to understand fully that it is in that presence that we experience his peace. We just have to be tuned into it. Because we take our eyes off of him. We get distracted with shiny things. We take our eyes off. I say this probably way too often, but it's true nonetheless. If you ever feel distant from God, it is not him that's moved. It is you have taken your eyes off of him. And the beautiful thing about grace, the beautiful thing about mercy, the beautiful life-changing thing about his presence is when we turn from him and we walk in a different direction and we move what we feel is farther and farther away, when we turn around, when we finally come to our senses, just like that prodigal child did, when we come to our senses, we don't have to make up all that ground. Because when we turn, he's right there. Why? Because he loves us, and that's grace, and that's mercy. He is always with us, even when we don't want him to be. Do I need to explain that? He's always there. He is always with us. There is no place we can go that he is not there. There's no division. Verse 15 says he brought about peace by abolishing in his flesh the law. This reference here of bringing two people to one. In the temple in the first century, in fact, this is archaeological evidence has proven this, that the court separating, there were many courts within the temple compound. And there was a court that even Gentiles, non-Jewish people, could enter. But on the wall that separated, the partition that separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of the Jews, was an inscription that said, "Non-Jews can't enter past this point." I'm paraphrasing because my Hebrew's rusty. "Non-Jews can't enter past this point without bringing death upon yourself." And what Paul is telling us here is Jesus took those petitions down. In his flesh, he said, he abolished the law. the law that separates, the law that divides. Christ is the peace between all of us, between all people. Verse 17 says, He came and He preached peace to the far away and to the near. So those that were far from Him, He preached peace to. And those who were near, He preached peace to. Now we know in context, He's talking again about the Jews and the Gentiles. But think about it for us today. His message is peace to those who are far away and those who are near. Now, we'll talk about this a little more in just a minute, but let me just remind us that peace is not the absence of difficulty. If you look up peace in the dictionary, it will say an absence of war, but that's not biblical peace. Because Jesus, while He was here, incarnate, God with us, reminded us that in this life, we will have trouble, difficulty, struggles. But He said, take heart, because why? I have overcome the world. And then He says in John, peace I give you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives it. His peace is different. It's not necessarily the absence of war. His peace is His presence in the middle of difficulty. That's the power of Advent. That is the power of incarnation. That is the power of Emmanuel, God with us. His presence brings peace. Jesus is our access to peace because His peace and His presence are real. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, You probably know this passage by heart. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. But you want to know one of the most special parts about this passage? If you back up just a few words into the verse before, Philippians 4, 5 ends with these four words, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. So Paul says to the church at Philippi, the Lord is near, so be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what will happen? The peace of God that transcends all earthly understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the connection? The nearness of God brings about the peace of God. His presence brings peace. His daily presence makes His peace real to us. He is always with us, but are we paying attention? Are we sensitive to His presence? Because when we are, what we experience is His incomprehensible peace, that peace that Paul says in Philippians that passes all understanding. Jesus is our peace because He has broken down the walls of separation. As I said a moment ago, He has broken down the walls that separate us, but also understand, verse 18 is the key to our passage today, Ephesians chapter 2. He has given us access to the Father. He has given us, through Him, access to the Father by one Spirit. So this separation that we have felt because of our sin, because of our own doing, we have been separated from God. But because of what Jesus has done through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, He has taken down that separation. And He has given us access. Access to the Father. There isn't anything that separates us anymore. And so again, His presence in our lives brings what? Peace. Peace. The word here for peace is eirene, which is peace or harmony or order. Again, not the absence of struggle, but his presence in the middle of difficulties. Anxiety, worry, fear, those are the opposites of peace. When we hold on to anxiety or worry or fear, some of us have that spiritual gift, don't we? The spiritual gift of worry. We call it something else, planning, organizing. When we hold on to anxiety or worry or fear, we have a hard time focusing on the very present Savior. But here's what we need to remember in order to experience His peace. This is basically the sermon in summary. He is peace, He is with us, and He's bigger than anything we face. He's bigger than anything we face. Romans 8, 31 and 32 say, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let that sink in for a minute. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If you read to the end of the book, God wins. God wins. And all of this that we are living through right now, it is temporary. And in Paul's words, "So we set our eyes not on what is seen," because what is seen is what? Temporary. "But what is unseen is eternal." God wins. God is bigger. So, here's a little formula that I want you to remember. It's a little long, so you may not remember it, but just get the truth of it. Do you believe that God is bigger than anything you face? If you believe that God is bigger than all you face, if you believe that God loves you enough to come to earth to save you, if you believe that He wants only the best for you, if you believe there is nowhere you can go where you are not in His presence, then there is absolutely no reason for anxiety, worry, or fear, only peace. See, it's when we take our eyes off of that. Just like when Peter said, "Yo, Jesus, that's pretty cool what you're doing there, walking on the water. Can I come to you?" This is the Aramaic translation. And he stepped out of that boat in the water. And what happened? He walked on water until what? Took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the trouble. He saw the difficulty. He saw the struggles, the waves, the wind, the rain. He saw it. And he focused on that, and he began to what? Began to sink. When we keep our focus on Him, that God is bigger, that He loves us so much, that He did not spare His own Son, but rather sent Him as an atoning sacrifice for us. That's love, by the way. When we believe that He wants only what is best for us, when we believe He's bigger than anything that we could ever face, when we believe that He is always with us, there's no place we can go that He is not already there, then there isn't a reason to have anxiety or worry or fear, only peace. Because His presence is peace. Your level of peace is directly related to your depth of trust. Let me say that again. Your level of peace in this life is directly related to the depth of your trust. Now, don't take that as an indictment. All of us lose trust sometimes. That's why we call it faith. We have to trust. And we don't always do a great job of that. But just remember that God is bigger. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He is with you. So there's nothing to fear. Because He lives, we can have inexplicable peace. He is alive today. He is present with us in this very space. And when we trust in Him, there is no reason to fear. My challenge for us as we move forward, not only in this holiday season, but really through the rest of our days, in the ups and downs and unknowns of life, live with peace because Jesus is with you. Live with peace because Jesus is with you. His presence brings peace. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You set aside the blessings of heaven to come and be with us, to be present, to live life here. We thank You for that sacrifice. We thank You for the love that it illustrates. Remind us today that You are with us, that there is no place we can go that You are not already there. We take our eyes off of You, and for that we ask Your forgiveness. We are so easily distracted by the things of this world. Help us today to clarify our vision, to focus on who You are, the love that You have for us, the peace that You offer us. May we find rest for our souls in You, because that's the only place we'll ever find it. Thank You, Jesus, for making that possible. And it's in Your name we pray it. Amen. Just a moment, I'll have you stand for time of response. If there's a decision you would like to make, this would be the time in the service to do that. If you just like prayer, this would be a time for that as well. Chris will be here, John will be here, I'll be here. Respond to Him as we stand together.
You may be seated. If you would, please turn your attention to the back of your bulletin with all the wonderful announcements that are on the back displayed just for you personally. Just a reminder that this Sunday, Children's Ministry Family Gingerbread Build is tonight at 5:30, along with Youth One Night. So make sure you're a part of that. If you have children or youth involved, please come to that. Next Sunday, we are having Christmas Eve worship only, no Bible study. So don't show up for Bible study. We're just having worship at 10:45 tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but next Sunday. If you show up tomorrow at 10:45, you can come to staff meeting. We are having a Christmas Eve candlelight service Sunday at 5 p.m., so make sure you come for that. Sunday, December 31st, there will be, again, no Bible study, but we are having breakfast at 9:30. I will be making my world-famous, actually, no, that's not true. My daughters will be making their world-famous casserole for that. So make sure you're a part of that, and we're having worship at 10:45. January, the new year. January 7th, we're having a soup cook-off to benefit Kids Camp. Soup has many definitions, but I describe soup as soup, not chili. So if you want to make chili, you can make chili. Please make chili for soup. But there is a sign-up sheet outside in the foyer. This, again, it goes for benefit Kids Camp. There's a competition for best soup or cornbread and for the teenagers to compete for the best cookies. And along with that, we will be discussing or kicking off our Sunday night discipleship classes that will be starting on the next Sunday, January 14th. And those will be included in your bulletin next week about all those exciting classes.
I think what you just witnessed was the ongoing debate within our staff of is chili soup. We have those that say yes, and those that are from Texas say no. This past week, I had the blessing. There are many blessings that come as being a pastor. But I had one of those this week to meet with Wyatt and Teddy Baker. If you guys want to come, and Tammy, you can come with them if you want, just so they don't have to stand alone. But both of these guys came and shared with me that they have made professions of faith and accepted Christ into their hearts. And so we talked about that, what it means. And so they are coming to you today to let you know that they want to make that decision public and come for baptism. And so, men, thank you for your bravery and standing here in front of all these scary people. I do it every week, so I understand. If you, as a church family, are willing to be the family for them that they need, extended family that they need, to pray for them, to guide them and to walk with them, and Tammy, as she continues to raise them up to follow Jesus, would you say, welcome home?
Welcome home.
Amen. That's your family. So y'all stand right here because we're going to close and then people can come by and greet you. Is that okay? Okay. As we are dismissed today, don't let the rat race of this season distract you from the meaning and the power of this season. So our blessing today is actually, as I was looking at it just now, I remembered as the verse that our children chose as their daughter, our granddaughter's verse when she was born. But it's the blessing that I want us to have today moving forward. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank you.